Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And finally on our program tonight, Markets and Company News with Simon Brown from Just One Lap. And Simon, who would want to be in charge of a company that reports a headline loss of 5.1 billion rand? ArcelorMittal reporting wider annual losses. And this is a company that's not only on the back foot now, it's really on its knees.
Jeremy, evening. It is on its knees. I mean, and it's a horror story. But let's put that in perspective. A 5.1 billion loss. The market cap is 1.25 billion. It is staggering numbers. And there's just there are so many moving parts. Lack of demand. Electricity prices. We haven't had load shedding. Well, apart from a little cold snap over the weekend, in 300 odd days. But electricity prices are high. Iron ore prices are okay, but there's just no demand for it. And they really are in an environment, and we've chatted, Jeremy, more around their closing of their long steel plant. But the problem they're in is that steel really has become globalized. There is very little demand at the moment. There's a lot of supply, and that supply is coming out of China. All thinking is that the supply out of China is probably being produced at a loss, but then the state will step in and put that right. So a company like ArcelorMittal, that is, you know, also, let's be clear, sitting on some you know, multi-decade-old technology, really on their knees. You know, trying to find a bit of, you know, green shoots in it. The only thing perhaps is that the long steel's close down is being delayed, as they have continuing discussions with the government. Those discussions should have happened a year ago, but there is very little to look at in this report and say that there is strong hope for the business.
You know, Simon, I was just thinking that in years to come, this will be a business school case study, no doubt. And I guess the lesson here is slow to innovate and slow to react. And that's a lesson that all companies need to take on board.
I think you're 100% right. And you know, innovation is hard. And in the steel business, I'm sure it's even harder. But you do need to adjust and change with the times. Steel globally has also undergone a shift where it was once considered a strategic asset for a country. Now, I'm not convinced that we shouldn't. You and I have spoken before. You know, let's roll it forward 5 years when there's massive global demand and China's no longer exporting. And, well, we just don't make enough for our own. We'll find it. We will source it in production out of the U.S., out of Europe, but at significantly higher costs. And it really is a case of almost whoever you are in industry, in business, you can't sit back and say, it's going to be like this forever. It's not. Mm-hmm. It will change, even in the steel business.
We've also spoken in the past about low PGM prices, and those chickens have come home to roost today. There was a trading statement from Amplats, Anglo-American Platinum, and also doesn't make for particularly encouraging news if you're a shareholder.
It doesn't. And here, as you mentioned, I mean, there's moving parts all over the place. But the key point is that sales volumes were down 14% to just over 1 million tons. And that was totally within guidance. And the full year sits at just over 4 million. The problem is price. And it is, the price has been under significant pressure. I was having a look at the charts of both platinum and palladium earlier today, and really they've done nothing. I mean, palladium collapsed post the run-up in 2021. It was well over $2,000. It's now stuck around $1,000. Platinum's been trading sort of between 850 and maybe 1,050. Lots of talk around platinum shortages, and that may well be a true story coming through into the new year that might help prices. But platinum really is in a tough space, and palladium the same. They're going to catalytic converters. Vehicle sales are recovering, but not booming ahead as many had hoped. And of course, you know, new energy battery vehicles, some of them have some PGM, but markedly less PGM than before. So they really are between a rock and a hard place. And what we haven't seen much of, we've seen a bit, is closures, is care and maintenance, which is terrible for the staff involved, terrible for the communities around the area, and of course the tax take for government, etc. But at this point, there's just too much supply in the market.
And let's go to the source of iron, if we can. Kumba Iron Ore also putting out a trading statement today. Full year earnings to drop by as much as 48%. Mm-hmm. What is driving that? just a decrease in sales volume, or is there more to it?
So there's a decrease in pricing that certainly hasn't helped. Although Kumba does get a slight premium on the spot price because they do have a slightly higher concentrate in their iron ore, which is basically, I mean, it's sand of the red sand, and there's some iron ore, and their concentrate is a little bit higher. What's hurt them, Jeremy, is the inability to get it to port, and that is squarely at the door of Transnet. There was an annual shutdown. That's not unexpected, but they were some derailments that went through. And the number that absolutely jumped out at me, sales were down 2% to 9.1 million tons in the quarter. But what they call closing finished stock, in other words, iron ore that they've mined but not shipped, is 7.5 million tons. They're sitting with almost an entire quarter's worth of product that they would sell in a minute if they could get it to port, and they simply can't get it to Saldanha port, and that's the challenge that they've got there. They can't get it to port. Demand is softer. Arsenal Metal, we were talking about a moment ago, their big input, of course, is iron ore. So there is softness in demand, there is softness in price, but they simply can't ship to port, and that is what's hurting them more than anything.
So we've just had three bad news stories, but let's look at something slightly more encouraging. Gold bullion today slightly off its highs, $2,859, but near record highs over the past couple of days, and that has translated very nicely into earnings for DRD Gold, and as much as 70% of the halfway stage.
Yeah, I mean, golden days for gold miners, pun intended. I mean, this is classic leverage effect, and that, I mean, their group revenue is up 28%. They managed to produce more, and a little bit, but a slight increase in the amount of gold that's been sold at 20 or so, 32 kilograms to be exact. But they managed to keep their operating costs up only 6%. And that's exactly what, as a miner, when the commodity you are mining is booming, you keep your foot on costs so that they don't go much ahead of inflation. And all that extra price increase from the commodity, in this case gold, basically just becomes profit. And the DRD is doing exactly that. We will see this to varying degrees from the other miners. DRD is a very simple operation. They're essentially mining the mine dunes around Johannesburg, not too much complexity. They've also got, for example, a solar plant and battery energy storage system coming online that will be sort of fully integrated during the course of this year. And that helps, not in that Eskom isn't giving power, but that the Eskom power is expensive, and they can do these solar fields at ultimately a cheaper cost per kilowatt hour.
Simon Brown from Just One Lap. We'll chat to you again next week. Thank you so much.
Hot Business on Hot 1027 with MoneyWeb.
And that's where we'll leave Hot 1027 Business with MoneyWeb for this evening. We're back on Monday at 6 o'clock. Good night. Thank you for listening, and stay invested.
Hot Business on Hot 1027 with MoneyWeb.